woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. If you'd like to join the Wild Michigan family, by all means, hit us up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, or you can email me directly, outdoormailbag@gmail.com, and you can find my phone number. You can call me there if you got questions, concerns, or maybe a good idea for a topic for the show. We would love to hear what you have to say. And by all means, man, like I said, get on those numbers or get on the internet and let us know what it is you want to hear. We got podcasts updated and running via our website as well. And we are going to speak to some friends today via the Lucky Buck Hotline, and we're going to kick it off with a celebration. And it seems the older I get in life, the more bicentennials, sesquicentennials, and centennial things are popping up. It's like, so far I've, you know, seen Michigan turn 150 years old. I watched America turn 200, and now I'm watching the elk herd in Michigan, the revitalized, the brought back elk herd in Michigan is turning 100 in 2018. And believe me, to be an actual part of that celebration in any way, to me, is very cool. And Chad Stewart with the Michigan DNR is joining us right now. Good morning, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing great, Duran. How are you?
Doing well, knowing that I get to be part of the club. You know what I mean? And it's like a really good way.
Absolutely. You're one of the few and fortunate.
Yeah, you know what? It was. I'm going to relive this for just a moment because it was probably one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life due to financial constraints and time issues and the like. But when Gander Mountain was in Lansing, I was getting ready to check out. My friend Shirley says, hey, do you want to buy a chance at an elk license? I'm like, sure. I've done this like once before. Why not? I'll buy one. She's like, well, do you want to apply for a cow, bull, or any? I'm like, any, whatever. You know, handed her my money, bought my ticket. A couple months later, Russ Mason calls me on the phone congratulating me, and I had no idea what for. And he said, well, you drew an any elk tag. I'm like, what's that? Russ, tell me. Long story short, I had my choice of any elk that came in front of me, and that's when all the stress started. That's when I realized I didn't have $1,000 for a guide is what the average going price was. I didn't have land to hunt. I didn't even have the proper rifle to go out with. I had my bow and a shotgun. And through friends and lots of luck and lots of help from the Michigan DNR, long story short, I was successful and still very happy to this day that I got my bull in 2013. So, and thanks to you guys for all the help with that. Brian Maston, Brooke, yourself, everybody was very gracious in helping us helping me find land and putting me landowners who put me on elk. It was an incredible event.
Yeah, our northern region does a fantastic job of managing those elk on the ground. They know exactly where they are. They work really closely with guides and landowners, and that's why if you're drawn for an elk hunt, you're probably going to be one of the more successful hunters in the state in terms of species, and what you can harvest. I mean, we typically have, well over an 80 and sometimes 90% success rate if you're drawn for elk. You know, the problem is there are only a few tags available, as you know, and it's very difficult to get drawn for that tag.
You know, and I've heard from a lot of people who put in year after year after year saying, geez, you know, when am I going to get drawn? It's a lottery system. It just happens. And could you explain a bit more how the process works? Because believe me, you know, I got eyeballs when I won, as you can imagine.
Yeah, it is a lottery system, and it slightly weights the individuals who are applying year after year. So if you've been applying for 10 years or 13 years, you know, you buy one and you get, 13 chances at it. So you do have a slightly greater chance at pulling than someone who's just buying for the first time. That being said, it's all going into a much bigger pool, and there are literally thousands and thousands of chances in there. So to be that individual one that's pulled out, is still, you're looking at fractions of a percent to be successful. So it's still incredibly challenging. You have a slightly better chance, but we have individuals that put in for the first time every year that get pulled out, and we've got people that have been applying for 13, 14, 15 years and still are not successful. And it's just the luck of the draw.
It is, and I'm done. You know, I'm done with, you know, getting a bull first time. I'm done. So, and that's, it was such a great honor. Again, such luck, because it was probably literally only the third time I'd ever applied, and I bought one on the last day, you know, and which is pretty much my luck. That's how things happen for me anyway. But, you know, but again, to say that I was able to hunt elk in Michigan is a big enough privilege already, but to have harvested a bull that, you know, during that season, absolutely amazing. And the story of Michigan elk over the past 100 years is an amazing story in itself.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, when you think that 2018 is the 100-year anniversary, that means we first reintroduced elk onto our landscape all the way back in 1918. So the elk species that we had historically had in Michigan was the eastern elk subspecies, which is now extinct. So, you know, some of the conservation leaders back in the day wanted to restore elk, but they didn't have that natural subspecies available. So we brought in 7 Rocky Mountain elk, and that's typically the species or subspecies that's used for many reintroduction purposes. That's what's now in Pennsylvania and Kentucky, or anywhere in the east or mid-Atlantic that has elk populations. They're Rocky Mountain elk. And those 7 animals were released just outside of Wolverine all the way back in 1918. And we had some challenges early going and sort of population fluctuations and ups and downs. But I think we've got it honed in pretty well right now. And we've got about as many elk on our landscape today as we've had in those past 100 years. So it's been very successful.
Yeah, it's amazing, too, that you would think about conservation when America's at war during the First World War, so many other things going on. But I don't think at that time we were as involved as we were when we came to World War II. So there were still some thoughts about homeland here going on. And it has been an incredible thing to watch over the years that I've been able to watch it and see. I mean, we've got elk viewing year-round up there, and you know, people always ask, well, did you take yours up in the Pigeon River? I was in Gaylord, you know, where I took mine. And again, because I didn't know where to hunt, I walked right into the DNR office, talked to Brian Mastenbrook, who was up there at the time, and they give me numbers to landowners that had elk and wanted them, you know, wanted hunters out there. It was an amazing thing to experience.
Yeah, and this is one of the approaches that, again, give a lot of credit to and foresight to the staff up there, and Brian is foremost the visionary with this. But, you know, to keep this many elk on the landscape, of course you're going to experience some problems. So, you know, we try to work with landowners to try to have hunters solve those problems in some of those areas. We have a seasonal individual that comes on in the summertime and literally hazes elk in these areas to try to make them more acceptable at these higher population levels that we've identified as in terms of our goal. So we put a lot of effort into making sure that these elk are widely accepted and appreciated up in that northern region. And there's certainly, there are some individuals that wish that their numbers were lower or at mm-hmm. least absent from the landscape, but that comes with any wildlife species, and our staff up there does a tremendous job in sort of mitigating those conflicts across the landscape.
Absolutely. Chad Stewart is our guest here. Appreciate you joining us, Chad. We got more. We're going to talk with you here in a few minutes. We got to take a short break. We're going to come back and talk about what's going on with the whitetail herd here. Chad Stewart's joining us on the Lucky Buck Hotline. I'm Duran Martinez. You're listening to Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time, in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Appreciate everybody joining us. If you'd like to be a part of the show or just talk to me personally, by all means, go to wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up our contact information, and we'd be happy to speak with you. Find out what's going on. Maybe talk about, getting you on as a sponsor or a guest, whatever it's going to take to make this show keep going. We want you here with us. And then thanks again to our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral for not only putting out a great product, but making sure that everybody knows the rules about how and when and why they can use Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. And they've been very good about posting all that information on their website, lucky-buck.com. Now, Chad Stewart is our guest here. We're going to talk a little bit about whitetail. And Chad, and I know the whitetail world, as the day we were in with the gang at MUCC when we got the first notice of CWD in Michigan. I mean, it was just having me in a random spot when we got that call. And now we've seen a few more cases of CWD in the wild deer herd here in Michigan. We've had a CWD symposium. Have we learned more about the disease, and where are we at currently with it here in Michigan?
Yeah, we found actually quite a bit this year. It was all in a new location. So when we first found it in 2015 and, announced that we have it in our free-ranging deer, that individual was in Ingham County. And then we subsequently found a few more in Ingham County and a couple in southern Clinton County. What's really interesting is, for the calendar year of 2017, we didn't find a CWD positive animal in either of those two counties. I think that's a success. It sort of showed that it was very early in its stages, and we responded aggressively. And, maybe there's a chance there to sort of get ahead of it or squash it out. The challenge, unfortunately, is that we started finding CWD positive deer just late in 2017 and mostly in Montcalm County. We do have some that we've identified in northeastern Kent County, southern Mecosta County, and I believe we have a suspect animal now in northern Ionia County. So we found probably about 46, 47 total individuals this year in those four counties. So much higher prevalence rates, much higher detection. And we still don't claim to know the geographic spread of it, whereas I'm sure it's a much bigger footprint than what we've been finding.
It's rather strange. I mean, there was this time that we really wanted to keep it out of our state. Wisconsin was going through some issues with it. And then, like we said, in 2015, you get that first call, and it was weird. It was kind of like being in the Oval Office when something's going down, you know what I mean? It was just to be at that place when you find out ahead of everybody else that there's CWD in Michigan. Everything changed. Everything changed at that point. Now, back when we had the Kent County issue on the private facility with the deer on a farm, we had the whole Lower Peninsula shut down for baiting and for the like. But, now we're going by a county-by-county basis, but that still seems to be growing quite a bit.
Yeah. So our response in 2008 was dictated based off of a CWD response plan that was crafted in 2002. And what we found after going through that 2008 response was there were pieces of it that were largely unfavorable, and we need to have hunter and sportsman support in any sort of response, and we still have to be responsible from a disease management purpose. So in 2012, we rewrote the CWD response plan and had a much more focused effort, especially as it applied to baiting and feeding. And that's what we've been following for these past 3 years. And I think it's been more widely accepted because it's been much more focused on where we're mm-hmm. identifying the disease.
Chad Stewart of the Michigan DNR is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Chad, how was the response to the mandatory check stations last year?
You know what? It was actually, I was pretty impressed with it. We did have quite a few sportsmen come through. We were certainly meeting our sampling goals that we defined. What really impressed me is the individual, the youth hunter that shot one during the Liberty Hunt in late September. That really forced us to scramble and create some new mandatory checking areas in southern Montcalm County, in eastern Kent County. So it was very late. It wasn't in the digest. We did hold some town hall meetings. We got a lot of participation and support from locals in that area. So they really rallied and understood sort of the situation that we needed some samples and were very patient at check stations that we set up just, you know, a month earlier as they were going through and on hunting season. So we were really proud of the way that sportsmen participated with our check stations this year.
Now, I think we've come a long way in the in our response to you know, things of this nature. I think had this happened maybe 10, 15 years prior, I don't think we would have gotten the response. I think deer hunting has come to a level of understanding between sportsmen and the DNR and you know, all parties involved that, you know, fighting each other isn't going to do any good. You know, it's not going to do any good for the animal. It's not going to do any good for us as a community and working together. And, of course, having all of the information available at our fingertips, I think, has really allowed us to grow as a sportsman and a community as well.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. You know, I think at the end of the day, whether some people believe it or not, you know, hunters want what's best for the deer herd, and certainly we want what's best for the deer herd also. You know, that's why all of us got into this profession, you know, as a career, is because we want to make a difference and we want to see that hunting and that resource is sustained for future generations. And, you know, when we look at the data that comes out of other states regarding CWD, it's a threat. You know, there's some people that say that this is going to be the sky is falling, and some people are going to say this is nothing and nature will take care of itself. It's probably somewhere in the middle, but we feel that it's still very responsible to maintain a very healthy resource for not only the deer population, but the hunters that rely on it.
No, I agree, because look, we all have to take care of what we love, and you know, we spend so much money in food plots and habitat and the equipment we buy and everything else. What good is that money spent if we don't have a resource to go to? And I really, again, think this is a good thing that we're all pretty much as a whole getting on board with what's going on. I appreciate all the hard work you guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, certainly from my perspective, the economics is important with deer in this state. But for my interest, it's more about the tradition and the utilization for a food resource and just the appreciation for the deer resource itself. So that's what I'm most interested in making sure that is available for, you know, my kids and their kids and, you know, everyone else. So that's why we put a lot of emphasis on this in recent years.
No, I think it's working well, and I'm glad the response was as good as it was last year. And, you know, maybe I'll get back into a tree stand this year, because I didn't do it last year. Just things didn't work out, you know, and that's okay, too, because there's that much stuff, you know, that much more going on and happening, you know, that I could take a couple years off. It's been nice. But, man, thank you so much for all the hard work you do. Happy anniversary to Michigan's Elk and Michigan.gov/DNR. Chad Stewart, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Duran. Anytime.
Absolutely. More coming your way. Appreciate you joining us here on the Lucky Buck Hotline. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com.